Hello. We are at week two in our series on faith in a time of crisis. And last week, we looked at faith and its relationship to science, which seemed like a good question to ask when this pandemic, the coronavirus, is going around the world and we're so dependent, we're so trusting in our scientists. So we asked the question, where does faith fit into this whole equation at the moment of our world? And today we're asking the question about what does it mean to have personal faith? And I'm delighted that we have two people from our church, Victoria and Ron, who are going to share with us what personal faith means for them, what has been their personal faith journey, how they came to faith. So we'll get to hear from them in just a moment. Just at the start of this, let me read you a few quotes about faith and wonder if any of these will resonate with you. Faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. Faith is unseen but felt. Faith is strength when we feel we have none. Faith is hope when all seems lost. Or this one, which is my personal favourite. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase. That was Martin Luther King Jr. Well, I wonder if any of those resonated with you. Faith is a word that we're familiar with it, but it pays us to think about what the word actually means. Faith is a noun that relates to the word belief or believe, and the root of faith, at the root of it, we find the word trust or trustworthiness. So when we say we have faith, what we're saying is we trust in the trustworthiness of God and all that we've come to know about God from Scripture through His Word. So faith, personal faith, is actually an intellectual assent to belief in God. So it's not an emotion. It is an intellectual assent, a choice that we make with our minds about what we're going to believe. It's more than that, but it is that. It is an intellectual choice. And it's a choice to believe that what we read in Scripture about God and God's nature and God's relationship to the world and God's character and attributes, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we come to personal faith, we're saying we believe in those things and the way of salvation that we read about in the Word through Jesus Christ. Indeed, as we read the New Testament, it's very clear that the object of faith is Jesus Christ. Sometimes we read about, we might hear the expression, keep the faith, which as it pertains to Christianity means keep believing, keep trusting in that body of truth that we believe about God and the way He relates to the world and the way He saves the world through Christ and so on. In the New Testament, the object of our faith is very clearly Jesus Christ. So it is intellectual assent. Personal faith is an intellectual assent, but it's also about trusting in a person, the person of Christ. And we can't trust a person unless we believe what they say, we believe what they do. So when we put our personal faith in Jesus Christ, we are expressing our belief that He is who He claimed to be, and that what He did in dying on the cross and in rising to new life, that yes, they truly happened, and yes, they atone for sin, and they give us new life. So intellectual assent and trust in a person. Romans 10 says this, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. So Christ is very much at the centre of the personal faith of Christians, which is why we're all called Christians. whilst faith is intellectual assent and it is trust in a person, there's also a third aspect, and that is the God's Spirit, which works in us to bring us to that faith, partners with us, if you like. We're thinking, we're asking questions, we're making decisions. But Scripture also says that we are like, as far as, as sin is concerned, we are so far gone. In fact, Ephesians says we were dead in our sin. We are spiritually dead. And Scripture says we actually need the grace of God to come to us through His Holy Spirit in order that the eyes of our heart would even start to understand and believe the truth of what Christ claimed and what Christ has done for us. So there's those three elements. Let's listen to the testimonies of Victoria and Ron, and then I'll see you at the end of those. Well, hello. I'm here with Victoria Hare and interviewing her about her faith. Victoria, this is about personal faith, and so my overall question to you is just like, how has this journey happened for you? How have you come to have faith? What's been your personal journey to this? So tell us a bit about that.
Okay, I'd like to summarize, because it's been a long journey. Being 50 now, I...
Are you sure you want to give away your age?
No, to me it's really important because of the length of time it's taken me to get here and the journey that I've been on. So I started in church as a child with my grandmother, but then life gets in the way and I took a path away from the church, but I still have very fond memories and lots of memories of my connection to the church. And then just as most people, I think life throws curveballs at you. Mm. And I've had several, but the one that happened a couple of years ago here in Warragul was the one that spurred me to look for answers to questions as, why am I making the same mistakes all the time? Why does this pattern keep happening to me? Can I find a mentor? Where's my guide? Where were my parents when I needed them? Or why weren't they there when that happened? Who is supposed to be the guide that, you know, helps you and supports you? And searching for those questions, people came into my life, like Helen, and circumstances changed, came into my life, and went to church, went to St. Paul's, and started to hear the word.
So how did you come to go to church?
With Helen. Helen okay. invited me.
Right.
So amazing moment when someone reaches out. I've had a lot of friends in the past who've reached out and helped me, and probably most people know people that put their hand out to help you yeah. in challenging situations, and she just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time,
or the right place at the right time.
The right place, yeah, for me anyway. And so she invited me. Because I actually, thinking about it now, I don't think many people would walk into a church mm. without someone to go and sit next to.
Yeah.
And you weren't there then, mm. but I started to listen to the word, and it started to speak to me, and that's when I had my reunion with God, because I'd obviously had him in my life as a child through my grandmother. And then it snowballed from there. So the last couple of years have been very busy uh-huh. in building my faith and reconnecting with it all.
Okay, yeah. So you've described some of those steps. You had a lot of questions.
Had a lot of questions.
A friend invited you to church. Yep. You started hearing God's word being taught there. And were you reading the Bible as well on your own?
Not as much initially, because I wasn't sure. But then actually it was a hymn in church. Oh, I never remember the father.
The good, good father?
The good, good father.
Okay, yeah.
And that's why I chose it in my confirmation.
Yeah, yeah.
So that hymn, the first time we sang it, and I'd only been to church a couple of times, I just cried my eyes out. I was singing away with tears rolling down my eyes because the song itself, I think even the melody, the way it was uplifting, as if you can rely on this father. When, you know, I've often needed that in my life, and that was a pivotal moment because I couldn't believe how powerful it made me feel, and I was crying while I was singing it. And I remember thinking while I was singing it, oh, there he is. Like, there he is.
So, like, yeah, because one of the questions you mentioned was, like, where is my guide in life?
Yeah.
Okay, so this all came together and you joined the dots about there is a Father in heaven.
Yeah.
Yep, who's calling me back and is there to guide me.
He's been there all the time, but, you know, life gets busy and we don't recognise them. You know, you see people down the street, you maybe don't recognise them because you haven't seen them for so many years or... and then there was like reconnection. So that was the pivotal moment. So God came first.
Yeah.
And I sort of really like had that reconnection with him, and then everything else followed, because then obviously there was the reincarnation of Jesus, who is his son. So I automatically associated him as my brother.
Oh,
and that we were in a family, and that these family members have been there the whole time. Another pivotal moment was the Alpha Course, because then I found I wanted this relationship with God and Jesus, and so, as you know, I'm doing every Bible study, very keen.
It's true.
Very keen. Played too many, probably. Because I'm trying to make up for lost time. I've had this reunion with these family members, and I'm trying, like you would when you want to see someone all the time and catch up with them and get to know them better, and like a new relationship. Mm. Yeah, so... which is hard on Mark because we're fairly new, and I think he feels like he gets a
He's
bit.
A great guy, though.
He is.
tell me, tell all of us, where does Jesus fit in? Like, you came to understand about the Father. What did you come to understand about Jesus Christ?
So, for me, it resonates with me as a mother, and I would imagine a lot of families and mothers would feel the same way, is that that's the son of God. I have a son, and I had never felt love or connection like it until I'd had that. And you know, we know that that is a gift from God, having another child who is the image of God. But also that love that you feel for them, and that the sacrifices that you would make, I would put myself in front of a bus for him. And so there was this light bulb moment of Jesus has done this for us. Mm-hmm. And he's in our family, and he is like a brother to us, or to me, or to all of us.
Yeah.
And I would do the same for my son as he has done for us, as if he was, and he's done that for me, and he's done it for all of us. So that was, and so, as I said earlier, I came to God first realizing that he was the Father, but the son then sacrificing himself for us and helping us to show us the way and forgive us for anything, the sins or anything that we've done. Because I've most of us, I truly believe, don't intend to hurt anyone or sin. We're just human. And to human, to err is to human. Oh, no, what did I say that wrong? But because of our complex natures, to know that we will be imperfect, but he forgives us, as long as we try our best and live like Jesus as best we can, which is hard in this society, but just knowing that he did that and that I would do that for my child or someone else. I probably would do it for any child. If there was a child, you know, in danger, you would sacrifice or you would put yourself at risk to ensure their safety.
It's a beautiful thing.
Massive.
That your understanding of families has played such a significant role in your coming to understand about a Heavenly Father and a Heavenly Brother who made that ultimate sacrifice. If there was someone watching this who was taking those first steps of just exploring Christianity, exploring faith, wanting to know a bit more about God, what advice would you give them? What should they do to make this faith a personal thing?
So, obviously it depends on everyone's personal situation, but what is the one thing that we all have access to that is there for everyone is the Bible.
The Bible.
I didn't go to it first, so I would say it was a blessing to be invited to a church, to have the Bible opened up to me again. If you're fortunate enough to have someone who can invite you to a church, that's a very positive thing. And then you find your own way and open the Bible and just keep reading passages until you find something which resonates with you, because you will. and just persevere with it, because it can be a bit daunting. I'm still a little bit daunted because it's huge. 66 books of, I don't know. And I'm only just scratching the surface of, you know, when I was, say, 12 or 10, and you read the children's Bible, it was very, trying to make it very sort of story-like at that level. Now, at 50, I want to know it quite deeply, philosophically, the wisdom, and that's quite hard work and takes a lot more time. But if you can, depending on your situation, if you can find a church or find a community group, like you said, I've joined several Bible studies, because they help you to just find the time to meditate on it, because I'm doing 3 or 4 Bible studies at the moment.
Wow, that's amazing.
But even one would be good, just to start you off.
Okay.
And with people, I think it's nice, because, but just dip into the book. It depends on your circumstances, doesn't it?
Well, wonderful to hear your story. Thank you for being so gracious and sharing with us. Thanks.
My name is Ron Glasser. I'm a member of the Warrigal Anglican Church. And Tracy has asked me to give a testimony of my first personal encounter with Jesus Christ. My first memories of Jesus and of Christ and God were Mum dressing us up on a Sunday morning and marching myself and my brothers off to Holy Trinity Church in Coburg, where we would go to Sunday school, play in the sandpits, listen to stories of Jesus, and sing songs like "Hear the Pennies Dropping" and "Jesus Loves Us, This I Know." Mum was always very proud whenever we would serve in the choir and serve as an altar boy. I really enjoyed my time in the Church of England Boys Society there, where I had lots of friends and we did lots of stuff that boys love to do, like playing games and jumping on trampolines and the like. Then followed the youth group and the tennis club. It was a great time in my life. I felt secure and nurtured there. I married in 1967 and I moved away to Bensdale. There I worshipped at St John the Baptist Church. I served as a parish councillor until my marriage broke down in 1990. It was a very difficult period in my life. I was very hurt by what had happened, and I really struggled with God and with anything. I lived in a spiritual wilderness, I like to describe it as. And I'm grateful for the Christian principles that I learned as a child, and I thank Mum for that. That I didn't grow during this period. I didn't have a relationship with God, nor did I learn to pray. In 1992, I was asked to move back to Melbourne. There I met Barbara, who was a member of the Assemblies of God Church. We married in 1993. We both come from completely different backgrounds spiritually. I struggled with the AOG, and Barbara struggled with the prayer book. We found a church which met both of our needs. It was a charismatic Anglican church, the Church of the New Guinea Martyrs in Croydon. There I found my first experience of the Holy Spirit, and I learnt the importance of prayer. The church focused on the gifts of the Spirit, and there were many who sang and prayed in tongues. When I retired in December 1999, we moved to Wamboin Lake, where we completed the cottage that we had begun many, many years ago before. We both became councillors, parish councillors of the church there, and we planted a home fellowship group. It was a time of spiritual growth for us both. In 2003, the bushfires that raged down the east coast of Australia frightened us, and we realised how vulnerable our house was, so we decided to sell it and move back to our roots in Nicholson, Victoria. There I returned to work in East Gippsland and Shire and began another period of spiritual wilderness. I didn't feel comfortable returning to St John's, and Barbara struggled with the traditional service. In 2010, Barbara was diagnosed with bowel cancer and spent Christmas 2010 in the Epworth Hospital in Box Hill. This was followed by 6 months of chemotherapy, where she suffered severe nerve damage of her hands and her feet, and she still struggles with that today. We couldn't manage the maintenance of our 2-acre property, so we decided to move to Warragul, as we had met some friends on one of our trips around Australia, and they convinced us that that was the place to live. So we sold our house, stored our furniture, moved to the caravan park, where I received a call from GP in Bairnsdale. There'd been a spike in my PSA levels, and he suggested that I make contact with my urologist, who ordered a biopsy. The result, an aggressive cancer, 9 out of 10 on the Gleason score. We couldn't stay in the van for recovery, but our friends offered us a unit in Doncaster. Immediate surgery followed, and on the morning I was to be discharged from Combreeny Hospital, I received a call from my surgeon. I was sitting in a darkened room, waiting for the nurse to come to bandage my wound and to remove the urine from the bag on my leg. The phone rang, and I thought, this is going to be Barbara, and I was excited, but it wasn't. It was my surgeon ringing to tell me the results of the pathology on my prostate. It was now 9 out of 10. And further, the cancer had escaped to the lymph glands. It was really all too much for me. I was alone in a dark room. I was overcome with fear. I began uncontrollable sobbing. And when the nurse came in to dress my wound and get me dressed for to go home, I couldn't talk to her. She left the room and came back with a chaplain. She asked if I was a believer, and she put something in my hand, and she sat there in the darkness with me and prayed for me. As she prayed, I felt a calmness come across my body. And when she had finished, I felt no fear. I opened my hand to find a cross, a little timber cross, which was shaped to just fit in the palm of my hand. She told me to keep it with me, and as a reminder that God is always with me. I'm convinced now that I had an experience of the Holy Spirit's presence that morning. I felt no fear for the future. I now know that God is with me, and he continues to be with me. My cancer remains in remission and has done so for the last 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I pray, and I take the medications, and I do the exercises. But I'm convinced that without God, I would not be in this position now, as I was given only 5 years at the time of surgery. So God is great, and he is with me.
Well, what a privilege it is to hear the testimony of Victoria and Ron. And in our Bible reading today, we heard a third testimony, and that was the testimony of Nicodemus. And we learn from Nicodemus a lot about what personal faith is as well. At the start of the reading, it says this: "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night, and he has a conversation with Jesus about who Jesus is." We learn a number of things about faith from Nicodemus. Firstly, we learn that faith follows a pathway. There's a scale, if you like. It's a bit of a process, because interestingly, at the end of this conversation with Jesus, Jesus says that Nicodemus doesn't understand yet. So Nicodemus comes and he's got these questions about Christ, but he leaves without having put his faith in Christ. He leaves still with more questions. However, we come to hear about Nicodemus on two other occasions in the Gospel of John. Remember, he's a Pharisee and he's on the Jewish ruling council. And that is the council that sought to arrest Jesus Christ and to have him crucified. So later in the gospel, what we find is when those plots are beginning, Nicodemus comes to the defense of Jesus Christ. And then again, we come across Nicodemus after the crucifixion, when we read that Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea to prepare Christ's body for burial and to bury it, to put it in the tomb. So three occasions in which we encounter Nicodemus and we're able to discern a development in his personal faith. On this first occasion, he comes with questions, he leaves without the answers that he wanted or without the answers that he can understand. But then when we encounter him defending Christ and finally serving Christ with great love, caring for his body after his crucifixion, that, you know, is a great expression of active believing faith. So we learn about faith as a process from Nicodemus. We also learn from Nicodemus that sometimes, you know, faith is a sensitive and tricky issue, and we might be a bit fearful about what others think of us as we explore faith. We might be a bit nervous about too many people knowing that we're thinking about these things about God, and we've got these questions we want answers to. And the reason that I say that we learn that from Nicodemus is because John says in his account, he came to Jesus at night, which is, I believe, a literary tool that John has put there so that it's clear to us he didn't want to be seen. He didn't want any of the other Pharisees or anyone else on the ruling council, or anyone else for that matter, to know. that he was seeking out Jesus to find out about who he truly was. So Nicodemus really normalizes for all of us that it's okay to be a bit concerned about people, others knowing at this point, when you haven't even decided if you're going to believe in Jesus. You don't want too many people to understand. So we're not all like that, but Nicodemus kind of normalizes that for us. We also learn that people come to faith in Christ from all sorts of diverse backgrounds. So here's Nicodemus, he's a Pharisee, highly religious man. But in the next chapter, we read about Jesus' conversation with a Samaritan woman who does come to faith and, in fact, converts a whole heap of other Samaritans through her testimony. We read about a Roman citizen who comes to Jesus, and we also read about a disabled man who comes to personal faith in the Gospel of John. So we learn about personal faith knowing no categories such as age or stage or ethnicity or even religion. And that is why when you go to church, there's such a diversity of people, all different people, because the thing that we have in common is this faith in Jesus Christ, nothing else. It's the faith in Jesus Christ. We also learn that coming to personal faith is, Jesus says in this conversation with Nicodemus, it's like being born again. Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." And Jesus says, "This is a work of the Holy Spirit over whom we do not have control." So although we might explore faith and we have questions and it's our decision, there does seem to be a partnership between our steps of faith and the Holy Spirit. Scripture talks about how we are spiritually dead before God gives us new birth in Christ, and we can't understand the things of God without him actually being gracious and giving us his Spirit. And Jesus explains this to Nicodemus, who at the time is just like, "I don't get that. How can you be born again?" You know, he takes it very literally. Finally, it is affirmed for us as well the role of Christ as the object of our faith. So in verse 16, Jesus says this. Interestingly, he says it in the third person. It's a tremendous statement, maybe because he knew we were going to quote it for centuries after that. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him, whoever puts their faith in him, shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." God loves the world and wants to call us back from our wayward lives into a beautiful friendship and family, the family of God. To be God's children, to have Christ as our Savior and brother and Lord and Shepherd, to have God's Holy Spirit companioning with us as we travel on this pathway. Well, as you've been listening today, it may be that you don't have faith, but you want to express a personal faith in Jesus Christ today. Shortly, I'm going to pray a prayer, and you can use that prayer as a vehicle for you to express personal faith in God. It might be that you identify with Nicodemus. See, another thing we learn from Nicodemus is he was a very religious man, but he didn't have faith. So you can be a religious person. You can have church, if you like. You can have your religion. It doesn't mean you've got a personal, alive faith, that you've been filled with God's Spirit, that you've come to this new birth. But it might be that you want to express that, you want to ask God for that today. And so you might echo the words of the prayer as I pray it as well. It could be also that, as Ron shared with us, maybe you feel like you've lost your faith a bit, and you want to renew your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can use the prayer for that as well. If you want to explore faith further, if you're not ready to just make that prayer, but you want to explore it further, I want to suggest some things that I think Victoria mentions as well about reading scripture. Faith is trust in what we come to know to be true about God, trusting in what we've come to know about God from His Word. Now, any bookshop in the Western world, whether online or an actual bookshop, still sells Bibles, and I recommend that you go and grab a new one and that you grab a pen, that you start jotting down questions and reading it and seeing whether God answers your questions and seeing whether there is wisdom and truth within these covers. Secondly, I want to suggest that you pray, that you make it a daily thing that you pray. Find a private place in your home, write down your questions or write down the things that you want to request from God, and spend just at least a few minutes a day in prayer, bringing those before God. Many a person in the world has prayed a prayer along the lines of, God, I don't have faith. I want faith. If you're real, can you show yourself to me? Make that your prayer if that's right for where you're at the moment. So read the Bible, do some daily prayers, and also thirdly, I want to suggest that if you're about to put your faith in Christ or renew your faith or you've got questions, why not have some conversations with some Christians? Now, whether that's your minister or someone in your extended family or someone at school or university or a colleague in the workplace, Christians are a bit like people who have a Thermomix, and are deeply enthusiastic about it. We are deeply enthusiastic about our faith, but we may not speak it out to you because we're worried that we don't want to cause offense. And so we need you to let us know that you've got those questions. So if you've got questions about faith, ask a Christian and just tap open that enthusiasm that we have for the Lord Jesus. Well, wherever you are on your faith journey, thank you for being with us today. Let me pray the prayer that I mentioned. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love this world. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Creator. We thank you that even though we may wander far from your ways, that you have made a way for us back through the death and resurrection of your Son, the Saviour, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We pray now to ask for that new birth that Jesus talked about, to ask that your Holy Spirit would fill us and give us understanding, open the eyes of our heart so that we might understand how trustworthy you are and that we might be drawn to express that trust in you and to rely on Christ as our Saviour and Lord. We pray for this salvation and we pray that going forward from now, that each day would be a new day of a new life for us, with Jesus as our Saviour, with the Spirit as our constant companion, helping us to understand, and with you, Father, as our Heavenly Father. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.